When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
John's back right on time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they timed it for my return from vacation, which is just unbelievable here that, hold on one second. I'm turning off our Discord server, which is lit up since this morning. Absolutely lit up. So let's run through everything we know here because it continues to evolve as time goes on. But everybody by now obviously knows that, boom, you know, Woj, 2:30 a.m. drops a little nugget here that the Celtics are interested, or the Celtics have emerged kind of in the Jaylen Brown pursuit here. And that came at like 2:30 a.m. Then Shams comes in over the top this morning. The offer, in fact, was Jaylen Brown, obviously, along with Derek White and a first round pick. The Nets said no, they want Marcus Smart, multiple picks, possibly another rotation player, and round we go. There's a million thoughts off of this that we can talk about, but I think there's two things. As time goes on, we have something very recently talking about Windhorst was on ESPN and he said this is weeks old. And not anything new. And obviously this feels like a Nets leverage play here. They're trying to me, the report is more about the counter offer than the offer. It's about the fact that they want to show the world that their asking price is still so insanely high that they're not only do they want Jaylen, but they want Marcus Smart, a rotation player and multiple picks. So bring your best offers forward, whatever it is. There's a couple of concerns here, Bobby. And you know, I want to get your initial take on it, but I think we'd be remiss not to show this. How's Jaylen going to feel about it? This is a guy with a massive chip on his shoulder, that disrespect card he's been playing.
We know now, right?
Since he got booed, you know, on draft night, he's talking about it in the NBA finals. There's always an issue. He's liking certain tweets. He's doing this. So what's Jaylen's reaction to the rumors?
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
My head, and I get it. And so now you've got Celtics Twitter flooding, you know, Jaylen's timeline. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, blah, blah,
Nick's
blah,
in
blah,
there.
Blah.
I saw Nick's in there.
Look, there's multiple stories. This story has so many layers. So rather than vomit it all out at once, what's your initial read on what's going on here?
I'm not surprised that the Celtics made an overture here. They are in a unique position here where every other star, we've talked about it, John, has some sort of limitation when it comes to that star's ability to be flipped for Durant because of the Ben Simmons situation, where he's on this rookie extension where you can only have one of those players on your team that you designate for that extension. You can't have multiple players, blah, 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 blah. So no Devin Booker, no Bam Adebayo, different teams that we've kicked around. Tatum gets taken out of the fold here too. Jaylen Brown, when you start to look around the league and teams that might be interested in Durant, and the Celtics should be among them, is maybe the only star that the Nets could trade straight up Durant for Brown, keep Simmons, maybe keep Kyrie. I don't know how they feel about that. That's another layer to this that we have to get into. But if you're the Celtics, you can come through with an offer like this right now, Brown, White, and a first, and say, what else are you going to get, Brooklyn? You've been sitting here for 4 weeks trying to get any momentum going. I'm sure that's why the Celtics eventually came through with an offer like this. And then the Nets go, all right, we'll flip it on you. Uh-oh, looks like the Celtics are trying to trade Brown. And now all of a sudden there's a fire in Boston. So I see this.
It's a clever play
coming
too.
Together. Yeah, for both sides here.
Well, it's a clever play from the Brooklyn side. One, I don't think anybody, like, I don't think GMs are like, oh my God, it takes that. I've got to offer so much more. Those are dumb. These NBA insiders are plugged in. They know who's talking to who, the NBA insiders. These GMs, they know who's talking to who. They know they're not believing the market is as robust as the Nets will have, nor do they believe that the Nets are holding out for this much. They just want that to be the perception. I don't think that's the thing, but it is a very interesting play if you're like, all right, I'm going to blow up Boston's universe because I know Jalen is sensitive as hell and throw it out there that they're shopping him. And now let's see what happens. Now do I force a situation where they have to trade him? Do I take back that leverage? That's pretty real. So
I noticed the difference in the Woj reporting versus the Shams reporting, and Shams has been pretty plugged into Brooklyn, as we know, through the whole Simmons ordeal and everything else. He comes through and says the Celtics offered Brown. Woj is like, they could offer Brown, you know, and some picks here and all the
There's
rest.
No, that's the whole point is, and again, so let's break it down in the simplest form. If this is old, which it probably is, and the Celtics, like any team, and Brad, like any executive, once you hear a player of Kevin Durant's caliber is on the trade market, you're going to inquire. It would be negligent if you didn't, okay? It would be malpractice. So, of course, you check in. Naturally, because Jason Tatum cannot be traded because of that rookie rule, the only person who you could possibly move and the only person who could ever possibly move in any major trades from the Celtics end is Jaylen Brown. It's why his name gets mentioned the most in trade talks. If Tatum is untouchable, the only guy you can move to create, to you know, get other types of talent or different players in here is Jaylen Brown. He's going to be part of every major deal, no matter what. So naturally the conversation is going to center around Jaylen and what else.
That's where of it gets course. Interesting, though. So, again, we
I don't even want to debate the basketball merits of this, because we have done this show. We know how each of us feel about Durant and about Brown and about whether this deal is the right fit for the Celtics. I'm less concerned with that and more concerned with whether or not how the impact here on Brown. Hearing these types of rumors, knowing that it bothers him, wondering whether the Celtics are, in fact, concerned that Brown is a flight risk in 2 years. And I am 1,000%. So, again, where do I fall on this in just the simplest terms, Bobby? I don't want to trade for Kevin Durant because I don't like him. I had to edit myself five times. I don't like him. He has a bad track record of poisoning every single place that he goes. And I know he didn't necessarily do that in the Nets, but he is, you know,
or Golden State.
It takes very little to upset him. That's all I'll say. It takes very little to put his nose out of joint. He's 33. I know he had a productive season, but he missed a lot of games. He's coming off an Achilles tear. He had a knee injury, and the cliff is coming at some point or another. And when it comes, you're going to be like, crap, we didn't get the best out of Durant, and you're going to be annoyed by it.
Let me flip that. So you want it,
but
you're worried about Brown.
I am still 1,000% listening to offers for Jaylen Brown, if not secretly looking to see what can I do here if I am indeed worried that he's not going to be around, because you can't have him leave for nothing. You can't lose the star and you can't lose the cap, you know, space on a player like that. You can't be left with Tatum and the rest of
and that can people. lead to you losing Tatum. We've talked
and
about
that can
that.
Lead to you losing so, Tatum.
Where he falls on this is going to be interesting, right? I don't think he probably has a strong take on it considering how he's approach these type of conversations in the past, but would he like playing with Durant? I think so. I think those two are pretty close. I think they had a good run on USA and all the rest. Sure, he's a guy that he's looked up to. He's talked about that. So I don't think this would bend Tatum out of shape to do something like this. What I do find interesting is the notion that the Celtics offered Brown, because again, you said due diligence. Every team's got to have this conversation. If you even give Brooklyn the ability to go out there and say, oh, we got offered Brown, you're in a tricky spot if you're the Celtics. So they didn't just dip their toe in the water here, John, did they? They seriously talked to the Nets, it seems like, about actually doing this and realized it's going to take Brown. That's like a prerequisite for even getting in on this talk. So we'll offer him. You know, we can quibble about the different other pieces that are involved in this, but they were willing to involve Brown, White, and a pick. If Brooklyn was going to say yes to that, then they would have done it, right?
It solves a couple of problems. And if that were the deal, I understand why Boston would make it, because now you're looking at it more than just, do I like my team with Jaylen Brown on it going forward or Kevin Durant on it going forward better? And if you're able to rid yourself of the uncertainty of what Brown will do in a couple of years, that's one less thing you have to worry about. And what appears to be a mistake of a Derek White deal, and you're able to just kind of offload that contract because now you've got massive redundancy at the point guard position now that Brogdon is here. So, you know, if you have Brogdon and Smart as your two guys who you're paying, you don't want to be paying $60 million to your point guards, you know, and they are. They're paying $60 million to three point guards. Try to find a way to get off of one of those guys in a way that doesn't hurt you. You don't want to do it as a straight dump. Makes sense. So I actually understand from a business perspective why this works for you and why it would be offered. But it's also an offer you know, it's an offer you know they won't accept. And if that's as far as you're truly willing to go, then it means you're not actually serious about trading for Durant.
That's true. So you probably shouldn't have even done it if that's how you look at it. But I think they are interested.
So you don't. The only fear in doing it, there's no fear in making a lowball offer in general, because that's the point. You make these what you consider to be lowball offers, and if the team takes it or starts to have a conversation off of that, and now you start to spin the wheels and say, does this work for us? You still can ultimately decide yay or nay. The only fear is Jalen hears it, Jalen gets mad. Jalen, it furthers his desire to leave if in fact he does want to leave. And now you've got that mess on your hands. So that is always the downside. It's just, it's impossible. Like whether or not Jaylen Brown is involved in actual trade discussions, his name's coming up, right? Every single time. His name's always going to come up, especially
from the other team.
When a star is available, we've done this with Beal. We've done this with Lillard. You know, now you're doing it with Durant. I don't actually know why Jaylen Brown would be upset. I don't get it. Like,
well, you got to get it.
Not really. Your name's coming up, whether it's real or not. Okay. So you believe the conversations are real, or it could just be stuff floated from the other side. You don't actually know.
Why I'm surprised we haven't seen that. Oh, the Celtics say Brown hasn't even been talking, like their side of it coming out, right? Because that would be the easiest thing in the world to do right now, is come across and say, boom, we haven't talked Brown, or, you know, Brown's not going anywhere.
That's coming.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
That's coming. That's coming. You're going to get some reports coming out from the Celtics side of things, I think, fairly soon. There's absolutely no truth to the rumor, Jaylen Brown, yada, yada. Celtics have no intention of trading Brown, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Especially after he tweeted.
Yeah.
So, again, we've had this conversation going on a month now. I've been very supportive of the idea of trading Brown and Smart, and five firsts probably would be your offer. A sweetener like Grant or Pritchard, I think, is the most realistic thing I would go to. Rob's off the table for me. That's obviously, I think, the godfather offer that the Nets would demand is Rob, Smart, Brown, and the picks. I think that thins you out too much. But even Smart and Brown could leave you a little thin at the point guard spot, especially if you're throwing in White there. Maybe you could try to get Curry back. The interesting thing here is that these two sides could go back and forth with a lot of different versions of this deal that make both sides feel a little bit better about it and maybe eventually reach a deal. Because what we're talking about here is, do you want to win a championship, or do you want to have this great, awesome, you know, championship contending team that might just fall a little bit short year in and year out, depending on how things break? You could win a championship with the team you have now. They're certainly viewed as the favorites. But if you did something like Brown and Smart for Durant, and then you still had Brogdon, you still had Rob, you still had Grant, whoever else, I think you're prohibitive favorites by a significant amount with Tatum and Durant as your 1-2. If Durant's playing at his level, there's concerns there and injuries and everything else that could happen. But if all is equal, and everything goes perfectly either way, let's say you have a 55% chance or so of winning a title now, you might have like a 65. And is that worth it?
I don't. Here's the thing. It's there's multiple things to consider. And again, we're now debating the basketball merits of this versus, you know, everything else. We've been over this before. I truly believe having a young core, and having a 25-year-old who might be the 25th or 24th or 23rd best player in the NBA is better than having somebody who's the 4th or 5th best player in the NBA who's turning 34, had a major injury 2 years ago, is generally speaking kind of a grumpy, grumbly guy that you don't necessarily want to root for to begin with. And, you know, the window is extremely small with a player of that age. So everything has to go. And just look what's happened. Look at these windows. Look how quickly the Nets window closed because of an injury, because of weirdness from one situation. You're talking one injury to one key player knocks you back to the middle of the pack, and that 65% goes to 30% or 20%, and it's over. Plus 65% is insanely high. So I think it's a marginal upgrade overall, especially if you are throwing in other core rotational pieces. You know, when you're talking about Jalen being the only major thing of value you're going to lose other than potentially draft picks, the conversation is different, because now you're weighing, well, what if Durant's really good for 3 years? That probably outstrips Jalen's long-term value, even if he did resign. Plus, you remove the uncertainty of whether or not he'll sign because Durant is locked up for four. That's why the Brown, whether you love the deal or not, that's why the Brown white single pick deal makes sense for those reasons.
If you're Boston, you can sit on that, because what else is going to happen on the Durant front? I think
that's what's most interesting to me, right, yeah, Bobby? And that's what gets to me is.
We want to take a quick pause, tell you about our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use that promo code CLNS50 to get the bonus and get into the action. Once again, that's betonline.ag, promo code CLNS50 for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
What's most interesting, recent report from Brian Windhorst, and I love this ESPN on ESPN crime between Windhorst and Woj going back and forth, because Windhorst has just been pouring cold water on all of these, you know, transactional reports that people are throwing out there. But I mean, you know, Windhorst just straight out said, this is a super old story, you know? There's really not much to this. So this really sounds to me like initial tire kicking and not anything that's gone any further. And if that's the case, you know, you're right. The Celtics can absolutely hold and see what falls. It is interesting to me, Bobby, as we continue to talk about insane things like five picks and all of this stuff, two things happen. One, the market was completely reset because of that stupid friggin' Minnesota trade, and everybody knows it. And everyone's
Danny.
Like, and everybody's like, if that's what it takes to just get to the table, I'm out. Cause if that's the new market, if that's the new normal for trading for stars plus players I like, forget about it. I'm out. I'm not doing that. I'm not starting at 5 and 6 picks just to get a slight upgrade in talent. I'm out. So it's not surprising that a lot of teams aren't in there, but you have to start thinking, you know, what's going on in other teams' minds right now? If Kevin Durant truly is one of the great players of all time, and certainly of this generation, which he is, why aren't people falling over themselves for him? A deal like this, if it was a player of this caliber, you would think it would be a deal,
well, a big part better deal the than a better
deal
than right?
a better deal. No, but
big
I'm saying
the Simmons restriction.
The Simmons restriction is one thing, but the fact that nobody is falling over themselves, you got a bunch of Celtics. If the Celtics offer is real, it seems like you have a lot of take it or leave it offers with teams like, this is about as much as I do. And honestly, I'm pretty lukewarm on it to begin with. So take it or leave it. Teams are not falling over themselves to make this happen, which is really interesting.
It is, because I think there's worry about the other stuff, and I'm worried about that here too in terms of the organizational control you might be ceding to Durant, what happened in Brooklyn, his decision to bomb out of a 4-year deal on top of that all. I get why people don't love any of that, and if you're a team that's in a good position right now, like Boston, like Toronto, who's been talked about as this fringe team that might get involved in something like this, you don't want to give up everything. Plus, if you give up everything, you might not be in the position to win a championship with Durant just because you're too thin. We've seen the last couple of years here, these teams with a little bit more depth, a little bit more versatility. they're better shots than the Lakers, who are relying on 1-2 players, or the Nets, certainly, who didn't take good advantage of their role guys, just relying on the stars. So I get why there's cold water, just because of the demand. I mean, what was the Minnesota report that they were asking for Towns and Edwards and all those
Towns and Edwards? You gotta silly be kidding stuff. Me. Yeah, it's silly
yeah.
Stuff.
So like, no one's even thinking Toronto's gonna give up Barnes, Van Fleet, Trent. That it's a whole team. So if you're the Celtics and the Nets' response is Brown, Smart, Rob, and picks, is, you know, they said a rotation player. I'm sure they'd prefer a Rob of all those rotation players.
Rotation
player
could also...
You're not doing
also,
that if you're the Celtics either.
Rotation player could also mean Grant. Our minds don't need to immediately jump to someone like Rob. It could mean something else, and it is what it is. So we're going to talk more about this. I do want to take pause to talk about one of our new sponsors, and this is an awesome sponsor that we have here on the Garden Report, and it suits us. It suits our colors. It suits our lifestyle. Bob, we got some healthy dudes here. Jimmy Toscano. And so much of what we do on the Garden Report here is about your own personal well-being. We're talking about other things that we've pushed before. And that includes healthy meal plans and apps and other things that will get your mind and body right. This is another one, Athletic Greens. And this is something that's new to us and something that I just started with, Bobby. I don't know if you've started.
Yeah, I got it going. My mom loves it. She's used every day in the container, which is really great. The bottle that they give you, and then the container that you scoop it out of. They got a lot of cool gear. My uncle just asked for more yesterday.
Yeah.
He wants to get back on.
It's pretty cool. So if you don't know a lot about it, and you probably do because it's really popular, it's been endorsed by zillions of athletes and other celebrities and this and that. Our new partner here, it's a product, and I just started using it today, and Bobby Manning's been using it every day since this began. And again, you don't have a lot of time. You want better health, gut health, energy, optimized immune system. You don't want to take a zillion pills and vitamins. You have it literally all here. It's just one scoop of Athletic Greens here. Gets the job done. We're talking about 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, all of these things, like we said, gut health, you know, better for your immune system, all of these different things where you're probably, you know, how many people are, I've got this pill, this vitamin, this kombucha, this thing, this, that. It's all one-stop shop. It's literally, you're going to spend $1 zillion trying to chase this stuff. Instead, you get it all in one place here with Athletic Greens, 75 high-quality vitamins. You know, why do I consume it? One, it's easy. Two, all of its benefits are things that I'm looking for in life for my better health. And I think, you know, Bobby and other people can attest to it. It's lifestyle friendly. It doesn't matter if you're on a keto, a paleo, vegan, daily free, dairy free, gluten free diet. 1 gram of sugar, so you don't have to worry about that. No GMOs, no weird chemical sort of tasty thing. It supports better sleep quality, mental health, mental clarity. And one of the great things is the price. It's $3 a day, $3 a day to invest in your health. And again, when we talk about all the different places you have to go to get something like this, you're flying all over the place, probably spending more on that now than you realize. Just kind of doing everything a la carte instead of an all-in-one nutritional supplement here, which you get in that. Over 7,000 five-star reviews, as we said, pro athletes, celebrities, endorsed by countless people. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop and a cup of water every day, that's it, and you're done. To make it easy, and here's the deal, and it's a pretty good deal. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/garden, and that's super important to us. Please support our sponsor, athleticgreens.com/garden. Take ownership of your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, and as we've been doing with our sponsors, we will send you a free Garden Report or Cedric Maxwell t-shirt of your choosing. DM me directly at John Zanis, at John_Zanis. DM me with a receipt of your purchase. I will, and give me your shirt size and your address. I will send you a free Garden Report t-shirt here if you support our sponsor, Athletic Greens. So again, please check it out. We want to get back to the stuff we're talking. Bobby, do you feel different already?
Yeah, the energy's great. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You feel a little more energetic. Again, I go to the gym every day, and I need kind of that boost early just to get going in the morning. I'm not a great morning person either, so that little jolt of energy, you know, with a cup of coffee and all that too is great, especially when you start using it for a couple weeks in here.
Yeah, so that's good stuff. As we said, I was on vacation, so I was consuming different types of things.
Well, that's the good too. You start fresh with that butter greens.
So I'm on a full scale detox here. Coming off of that, and honestly, I couldn't wait. I knew the packet was waiting for me at home to get to it. So let's get back to our Jaylen Brown situations. And again, this report that came out to me, this is a report that's interesting. This deal may or may not be on the table. Brown, Derek White, and a draft pick to the Nets for Kevin Durant. Brooklyn, of course, declined. And now we have a report here. This is a weeks old story. So again, just putting every time a story like this comes out, Bobby, you have to consider the sources. You know, what's in it for the teams involved, where it came from, what's real, what's not real. And I do think as it comes into focus, Celtics absolutely kicked the tires. It's very possible they said this is about as far as we'd be willing to go if you want to discuss it. That offer, as Brian Windhorst suggests here, might have been sitting on the table there for a little bit, and it might still be sitting on the table. It might not even be real. Windhorst says Brooklyn's not actively engaged in anything because I think the market wasn't what they wanted it to be. The thing here, though, Bobby, is if you're Brooklyn, you are one Kevin Durant tweet away or report away of him not showing up to training camp, and your leverage drops like crazy. So you are playing a dangerous game here, because once you realize that Brooklyn has to trade, as long as KD and Kyrie will accept returning for a year, which Kyrie already has because he opted in, and KD has not bucked yet as the trade market has seemingly gone cold.
We haven't heard much from Durant at all.
I have not heard anything. He talked, say he retweeted something Draymond Green said today, had nothing to do with this report. He was talking about the 2017 Golden State Warriors. As long as KD remains at least content enough to not make a fuss, and there's no reports out there, Brooklyn has leverage. As soon as KD says, I've given you enough time, you got to make this happen or I'm not showing up. Major problem. On two fronts. The problem one is they lose their leverage. Problem two is another example of a pouting diva superstar that's going to take his ball and go home if he doesn't get what he wants, and makes him even less appealing to some people who are already scared off by that kind of behavior, seeing that he just shot his way out of Brooklyn and he hasn't even really kicked in his 4-year extension.
The hardest part from the start of this has been deciphering what Durant's motivation was in making that trade demand. Was it a leverage play for him? Was it in defense of Kyrie? Was it to get away from Kyrie? Or is he just trying to sow discord around the league? I mean, that could be a motive too here, right? The Nets are in a tricky spot in the East, and he's like, all right, let's get these other teams kind of jerking their heads and looking at me here. And maybe that sows some disdain in Miami, where they're shopping Hero, or Boston, where they're shopping Brown in a possible trade like this. That's kind of a little like overthinking it. I do think that Durant probably wanted to trade if he was actually going to put that out there, and just isn't the kind of guy who's going to get that much drama rumbling. Although we'll see come training camp time here, that's when the real motivation behind all this will become apparent. So that's what we have to figure out here before we really know where this is going to go. Because if he just wants out and wants to get the hell away from Kyrie, I think this probably happens, right? If he's in it with Kyrie and they're cool and he's standing up in defense of him, maybe they play out a Last Dance style year in revolt against the management here who put their foot down. But that's the other thing we have to consider, right? Ownership made this decision in Brooklyn that we're going to take a stand against Irving here, because I think it would have been easier for Sean Marks to say, just give Kyrie the money, we'll keep this together and just pray each year and year out that things break our way and we'll win a championship. Ownership said, we were just in the tabloids all year looking like idiots because this guy wouldn't get the vaccine. So we're going to
beyond take this that, year by year. It's an investment. You are investing in your future, and Kyrie looks like a bad investment right now. So I understand why ownership is the money. They can tell you, I'd have no problem spending. I'm one of the richest guys on the planet. I will absolutely spend money. I don't know if I want to spend it on this guy. That's it. So it's not it's not ownership meddling. It is basically, I own this business. I don't want to do business with Kyrie Irving. And I don't think it's that remarkable that ownership would in fact step in there and kind of draw this line in the sand. It was the right play by them because he
depends what you want.
I'll tell you why. I don't think he doesn't have options. And what do you want? You want he doesn't have great options next year either. It's always going to be sign and trade. The teams that have cap are teams he doesn't want to go to. So he's not going to just walk to Indiana and sign there. It's just not going to happen, you know? So it's always a sign and trade situation. So you're not really at risk of losing him for absolutely nothing. But
you're at risk of losing Durant, right?
You are. But again, here, if you're the Nets, the best case scenario for the Nets is both of them hold their noses, return, and things actually go well. Ben Simmons plays, and all of a sudden they're like, this could work. Kyrie has a year of best behavior. Now you have a James Harden kind of, you know, discount deal there on the table as potentially a market, you know, something that, you know, he might consider if he wants to stick around here. And maybe that is his best play. Maybe re-signing there for 2 or 3 years is the right play for Irving. And that's something that's more palatable to you. The best case scenario for the Nets is they all show up, they stop their bitching, complaining, and all of the nonsense that kept them away from each other and off the court last season, and it starts to look good, and now you don't have to do anything.
Are you counting on that, though?
I'm not, but it's it's better than Kyrie walking for nothing at the end of the year, potentially, or, you know, trading Durant, you know, at a time where you have reduced leverage. Those are you're going to get worse there, and you can't go into full rebuild because you can't tank. Your picks are going to go somewhere else. You're going to trade Durant to a contender. They're going to be better. You're going to get a bunch of picks in the 20s.
So let's build off
while
that,
you're though. Tanking and watching your top picks go elsewhere because you've already traded them away to when you started this mess in the first place. They can't go backwards. They have to stay competitive, and so they have to get good players or use the ones that they have.
So what was the motivation in them putting this out there today then, if their goal is to ultimately keep this together?
It's not their goal. I think that that's a fault. Their goal would be get a massive haul for Durant and be happy with it. That includes a player that's good enough to jump in, and you don't lose as, you know, you don't go too far down from Durant. The drop-off isn't huge, and the player coming back plus a bunch of picks and assets to help you replenish, which protects a little bit against, you know, the future if things do go awry, you know, and things don't work out a little bit. Now you have some of your own assets to mess around with. I believe the point of the report today is simply to show the world once again our asking price is still really high. And again,
that makes sense.
And again, the conspiracy theory that you floated earlier, potentially that to sow a little discord in Boston and say, of all of the lowball offers we've received, this is actually the one I think we'd be down with. So let's create
a situation.
Look
at Miami. Miami has chopped the whole roster 10 times over. Yeah. I'm sure that's not growing great down there either, especially as they're about to talk hero extension. So yeah, there's a couple different places that they could shake up a little bit here. Even Toronto. I mean, Toronto's not looked at as a contender, but they're moving in that direction right now. And yeah, that's another team that you could potentially sow a little discord in right now. But that brings us back to Brown. I mean, this is why the fans are so bent out of shape out of this. And he has certainly played into this too with the tweet. We talked about this last week on the show when you were gone, John. That picture and the tweet and all this other news and smoke and just momentum around.
This stuff worries people.
Yeah, and so
you don't. I mean, let me ask you a question outright. Pick two people on the planet you don't want Jaylen Brown spending a lot of time with. Ding, ding. You know, like my God. You know, like it's just.
Yeah, and you know that has a little bit more significance now. Maybe that's like the next duo in Brooklyn if they end up doing this deal. I don't know, but
you want to, and again, this is every, you know, the more Jaylen says, the more Kyrie I see in kind of his Twitter game and his reaction to things. And obviously, you know, there's a million things to celebrate about him on and off the court and all of the stuff that he does for
this
social justice
thing.
And all of these things.
Make this
so
point.
It, you know, he's remarkable in that regard, but this my thinking is on a different plane than everyone else's sort of stuff that you get with these guys is weird.
Well, and it's not even that. It's,
I want less
why
of
are
that.
You,
yeah.
Why are you?
He's good.
I get why.
He's good on his own.
I get why he's upset his name's being floated, especially since Brad in the past has said he's not being moved, right? So his name being floated out there, I guess, can be frustrating. But to take it personally or to say you're not valued, I mean, that to me was, I don't think that was accurate, right? Because these fans have had his back at every turn. Even during the worst days in the winter, all the fans were saying, right, don't trade Brown. Don't split these guys up. So they've had his back. I don't think there's really ever been any momentum from the fans, because that's what he was liking, right? The fans disrespect Brown. I don't think there's ever been a strong wave of fans who have said move him or upgrade on him or anything like that. They've always loved him. So yeah. I didn't find that accurate. And then to tweet out in response to this and just sow even more frustration over what happened here, I don't think that's great either. I love Brown. Again, he's one of my favorite players on this team. I think his growth curve could still go even higher here. I think this team still has potential if they stand pat here. But if Kevin Durant, the best or second best player in the league right now, becomes available, what are you going to do? Offer White, Grant, and Rob? Like, Brown is the starting point.
You either don't offer anything if you don't want to be associated with Durant. And you know, whether if you don't think that he's a good fit for your team, or you're worried about, you know, him being a flight risk,
so that's what do you think, or whatever. What do you think this report indicates? Were the Celtics actively engaging, really putting their foot into this, or did Brad just get kind of caught as like new GM saying, Sean Marks says, would you throw in Brown? And Brad goes, yeah, like they're not actually talking about a deal, but when they're throwing around names, he got Brad to say yes to Brown. And
again, you never know what it is. As I said, from a business perspective, you're hedging bets a little bit with Brown. And as I said, you move on from White, you know, now that you've gotten Brogdon in here, you know, you don't save money today, but you do a couple of years down the road when the Jalen extension would have kicked in and would have kind of skyrocketed you up to an even higher kind of luxury threshold. And you have 4 years and you know, you feel better about knowing that, you feel better about securing Tatum long term. There's a lot of things beyond basketball and basketball fit that come into play. So I do think it's possible that a trade involving Brown, White, and just a pick is something the Celtics would strongly consider, because it's not blowing up their core. It's eliminating a redundancy. It's moving a little bit of money that might be, you know, ill spent. You know, and also there's the chance that you're getting, you know, a person who's going to the second best player in the league and a top 15 player of all time to continue to play at a super high level for 3-4 years.
Well,
and
again, let me ask you two
make
questions.
No mistake. And again, I know there's people in the chat saying things like Jaylen Brown is better. Look, my concern with Durant is if the cliff comes as he played last year while healthy. And I know he didn't have a great playoff series against the Celtics, but the way he was playing last year, Jaylen Brown will never come within miles of that level on the court. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. It's not. But I do believe if Durant dips a little and Jaylen Brown continues even a marginal ascent, they start to get close enough where I don't know that the gains are worth it when you throw a ton of other things into the package. And that's my concern there. Straight up, they're on a different plane of existence. And I think we have to accept
they
that.
They do look really good now as they stand. There's a few concerns.
But you like where they are, where they stand. You just went in here and all, you know, you just got in here and you just made moves that made you a betting favorite to win the NBA finals. Like, you don't need it, but
you're not prohibited.
I understand why you're thinking about it. I understand why you're thinking about it.
Yeah, people have kicked around that notion that they're the favorites, and I'd say I don't know if they are, right? You can't. How can you hand them being favorites over the Warriors after the Warriors just beat them 3 straight to close out the series and effectively dominated that series? The Warriors are favorites. Warriors might be better after they got JaMychal Green and Dante DiVincenzo. You can probably go back and forth on that, which roster was better. Milwaukee looks enticing right now. I've seen them favorites in one location as well. So you're in the mix. You're right at the top with everybody else that's on that level. I just think if you do the right trade here, like, let's say Brown, Smart, and 5 firsts. Would you do that, John, if that was the deal?
What's that?
Brown, Smart, and 5 firsts with the 2 pick swaps?
I don't do it at all. I don't like the
deal. So you wouldn't even do this one in front of us. White, Brown, and a first.
I understand the business of doing this deal. I'd rather not do it. And again, it's not because I think Jaylen is untouchable. I just don't want to do this deal.
So what if the Nets say yes to 5 firsts, Brown, and Smart? You're saying no?
What's that?
Brown, Smart, and five first. You're saying
no, no, no. I don't want to do that. I hate the five first deals. First of all, to me, it's either or. You do five firsts, and the Celtics' problem is and has always been when it comes to these trades that they don't have their right. They don't have their hero. They don't have their on the cusp of being really good, but not great. Like. Hero's not Jaylen Brown. Like we don't, the Celtics don't have that guy who can be a centerpiece because he's young and up and coming, but not there yet. They only have Jaylen Brown. So to you don't trade an already established all-star caliber star who has still room for growth and the picks. It's either or. The Celtics just don't have the or. That's their problem. You do picks and a player like Hero. You don't give them all the picks and Brown and another good player. It's an insane ask. I don't care how good Durant is because you're handicapping your future. If it goes bad for whatever reason, and you're giving up too much out of your core where you're not even sure if you're going to be better tomorrow. It's an insane ask. Two starters and five firsts. I want nothing to do with that.
And we do have a follow-up. We do have a follow-up report, finally, on the Brown response. Mark Murphy tweeting, source on Jaylen Brown's reaction to trade rumors. He loves it in Boston. He was two games away from a championship. He's happy and looking forward to coming back. Like Kawhi, AD, and others on that level, he's going to be included in every report because of who he is. Who do you think that was from?
What that doesn't tell me is... what does coming back mean? Coming back this year? Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, he's excited that they're two wins from the finals. They want to get back at it. He's on the team. Like, who wouldn't be excited to have taken a team that was on the cusp of winning an NBA championship and adding a couple of pieces and running it back? Of course you feel pretty freaking great about that. But the question isn't that. The question is he committed to Boston long-term? Nobody has that answer. So, again, that report means nothing to me. And not to discredit the reporter. Murph is plugged in. He knows what he's talking about. He's talking to people. But there is no guarantee, and there won't be a guarantee. We've done this already. We did the Kyrie Irving dance. He's out there making commercials about his banner being raised to the rafters and announcing that he's going to come back at a season ticket holders event. And all of a sudden, 4 months later, he's already planned an exit.
Well, that also means he's, as of today, he's coming back. Like today he's on the roster today.
I know looking forward to coming back just means get to camp and run it back here. He's under contract for two more years. It means nothing. You don't have assurances with Brown. I guess the best way to make it work for him is make this a situation that's going to be really hard to leave and, you know, offer him the full max. If you do those things, that's the best you can offer, obviously, but you have no idea if he wants it. So again, I don't put much stock in that. What you need, what you want to hear now, and I don't know whether or not we'll believe in this report as well, is that Celtics report coming out that says there's absolutely no truth to it. We loved him. We would never do it. Yada, yada, yada. We don't have that yet, which is interesting to me.
Well, what if that one was from the Celtics?
I think Murph's thing is from the Celtics, but what you don't have from the Celtics side of things, on the local beat right now is that's preposterous. Jaylen Brown is integral.
That's
to
what I'm
future.
Saying. So if that's how the Celtics are responding to it, not saying we'd never trade Jaylen.
No, I mean, that's probably someone close to Brown rather than from the Celtics, that Murph got it from. So
maybe I could see that coming from the Celtics, too, depending on how you read it. But who
we got
knows?
Sicily in the house. I love that.
They're in a tough spot right now, though. Like that is a tough report to have drop, but I look at it as they're legitimately interested in this. And Shams did indicate in that report that the team's discussing how to progress from here, move on from here. So is it an old report? I don't know, but he did have the Celtics angle in there that they're still kind of actively discussing how to respond to this and the Nets rejecting that and what to do next here, because I think once you dip your toe in this water, once you
I don't believe the Celtics are now considering what they should do next that means nothing. Like if someone offered me pizza and I said maybe, you know, like I guess I'm still thinking about whether I should eat the pizza, but it doesn't mean I'm eating it, nor am I super serious about it. But I'm like, yeah, I guess the pizza's sitting there.
It's still in your head. Slice.
It's there. I can see it. Like, of course, all of that, those things mean nothing. You have to really parse through the words of this recording. It doesn't mean anything. Everything is on the table. Everything is an option. You know, Jaylen Brown's going to be involved in anything. It doesn't mean it's real. None of that means it's real, you know, at all. I see no benefit, you know, to me, obviously this comes from the Nets side of things, and the Nets are the ones who have to benefit from releasing information, not the Celtics.
Well, let's just agree that the Celtics offered Brown, because again, that's what they're saying here. I don't believe that Brad just accidentally said Brown or something, and that's how the Nets got. If the Nets are doing that, then man, you know, Brad, like Brad's a good guy. He'll get along with everybody and he'll say, he'd be pissed if like, he just like kind of like said the word Brown and the Nets took that and ran a report that the Celtics are offering Brown. Like that would kill a relationship there between these two franchises if they did something like that. So let's agree that the Celtics actually did offer Brown. They were actually trying to make this happen. There's a difference between a low ball offer, John, of, all right, we're going to give you White, Grant, and Pritchard and picks, and that's our offer, and that's us getting in on the Durant sweepstakes. There's a difference between that and saying, all right, we're building a deal out of Brown. You wouldn't, if you were just trying to gauge interest here, John, and say, all right, let's see what we could do this for at the lowest cost possible, you wouldn't be putting Brown in it, would you? You'd be putting a ridiculous lowball offer out there that has no chance.
No, like I said, is, you know, it's insult. I don't, this is stuff we don't know. If you're actually having a conversation and the Nets begin there, you know, whether or not you offer it, whether or not you're serious, you're, it's silly. You're just, because the Celtics don't have anything to trade beyond Jaylen Brown, there's literally no offer you can make that isn't going to be laughed off the table. It's pointless to make it. It's pointless. Smart, White, Rob, 5 picks. No.
So you wouldn't even get in on it. Yeah. You wouldn't even be picking up the phone.
So naturally you call and you check and the conversation starts with Durant and the conversation might move to, and then, like I said, I get from a business perspective why you might consider doing that, but it doesn't mean a hard offer was made. It doesn't mean it's anything more than chatter. It doesn't mean it's even necessarily real. It doesn't.
The way they're reporting it is that the Celtics offered Brown. So unless the Nets are just like erroneously throwing that out there to hype up interest, and who knows, they could be. Marks is in a bad place right now. Like if this goes wrong for him, his career as an executive is over. So like he has to do something extreme like that to try to drum up interest, to do whatever he can to get out of this good. And, you know, setting a new price like this of Brown, Smart, and the picks is the best way to do that. Cause right, his first attempt at Towns, Bennett, I keep calling him Bennett, Edwards and picks was so ridiculous that everyone's like, all right, yeah, we're going to give you that. This seems a little more believable here. But again, if they just picked up the phone and were tossing around names and doing what GMs do, and he turned that into the Celtics offered Brown, man, like, but I can't even imagine
how everybody does that all the time. You know,
to this degree.
Yeah, I think it's pretty common, because you're trying to show that they're in it, you know, and they're real. So
they'd have to be in it or real for to say that. So again, I think the Celtics have legitimate interest in this. So how couldn't you? I mean, Durant, Tatum, that is a 1-2 punch that would just be epic. And
I hate again. I hate it. And the last thing I want is Durant and Tatum's ear. I'm sorry. I hate it.
I don't know. You don't want a guy flanking Tatum with a little edge. We always complain that Tatum doesn't stand up to guys.
If you want to watch, fine. One, Kate, like, look, your typical Boston fan or anybody out of market, and this is my strictly emotional case against Kevin Durant. You know, you guys don't like Kevin Durant. I've said this on a show before. Like, you made fun of him for going to Golden State and taking the easy way out. You trashed the super team when he went over there with Kyrie. You got mad that they conspired and broke up what the Celtics were trying to go with here. He's a diva. He's got thin skin. He's always on social media. You know, anytime anybody criticizes him, he's friggin' sparring with the owner of this company. We don't like him. You don't like him. You don't want to root for him. You want to root against him.
Oh, but in 2016, when they sent Brady and Isaiah, I get it, Kelly, everybody wanted him.
You hadn't gotten anything. You hadn't gotten people to come here. You were going to take your best, put your best shot at any major free agent. Things have changed in Boston. Free agents come here. You're in the mix. You have two stars of your own. It's a totally different environment here than it was that first time that they pitched Durant. But from a Celtics fan's perspective, you don't want him. He's a pain in the ass. He's unhappy everywhere he goes because he's a generally unhappy person. He doesn't like the conversations being had. He's not going to like anything here. I don't think he wants to be in Boston. The last thing I want is this guy in Tatum's ear. I really don't want it. You know, it's about you, bro. You know, it's about you and your brand and blah, blah, blah. I don't like any of it. So, you know,
I get that part of it.
I don't want any of it. I don't want to be associated with Kevin Durant. It's not worth it. That's for one. That's basketball aside. I love his game. I don't want anything to do with him.
Well, I'll tell you this. If it happens, people will talk themselves into it quick.
Of course they will.
I think we overstate. Again, I think you just put legitimate non-basketball reasons out there for not wanting to do this. If we're talking basketball, I think people overstate the decline or his age and the Achilles stuff. He was phenomenal last year. I mean, he faced a tough matchup in the playoffs against this historic Celtics defense, and Kyrie was given middle fingers and, you know, just fading from the series. So there was an enormous load on him. There was an enormous load on him all year because Harden sat down and everything else. So I don't look at that and say, uh-oh, the basketball fit here could be a little wonky. Maybe he's going to decline. I think he is still in a place where he would just be hammering teams, and, you know, he could take nights off if he needs them because Tatum's going to be able to lead the team pretty much every night of the year. There's a lot of ways that this could go really well on the court, and I think it boosts your championship odds significantly. You're in a good place right now championship-wise, but you still look at this roster and say, all right, what happened against Golden State could happen again. Offensive stagnancy, turnovers, ball control issues, not being able to put the ball in the bucket when you really need to. Durant is still a guy you can throw it to, and that ball is going in the bucket. And he's won championships, leading a team over a really good opponent. I think he checks a lot of boxes basketball-wise. And let's say back in January when things were really looking bad for the Celtics and we were kicking around Brown trades, if you could have traded Brown then for Durant, it would have been a dream. We were talking Simmons and Beal and all this other stuff. Durant, again, like the basketball fit, I think, is still really enticing here. And it's about the value of one championship, because you talked about the window, John. That window could close fast, but if you get one championship, the value of that is immense.
So, again, this is where I kind of come from on that. And, again, it's not necessarily fair, but, you know, I think a lot of people fall in this category. And, again, maybe some super younger fans less so, because, you know, their championships aren't growing on trees quite as frequently as they were during the run between the 2000s and 2018 or so. But I've seen plenty of championships. And, you know, as a Boston fan, I feel sated. Doesn't mean you don't want more. But the journey is important.
Not for the Celtics, though.
Not for the Celtics, sure. But again, as a general Boston sports fan, you're either in the finals or you're playing for finals. It's become
a non-Celtics fan say you got one since Reagan.
the journey, I get that. That's why I don't really believe in Celtics mystique and legacy, because I think that exists at a time that might as well be 300 years ago, as far as most people are concerned. It's very far gone. You're basically talking since 1986. You have one. It's not a team that anybody who's less than 50 years old is going to associate with greatness outside of what you know historically. So I'm not even talking about that per se. I'm saying, as a fan of Boston sports, we've gotten a lot of titles. So the journey matters. You want to like the players, you want to like process. I don't get wanting to be part of Kevin Durant's legacy. Kevin Durant comes here and he gets to say he's the alpha and won his title with Boston. That's his title. That's not yours. That's his title. You didn't win it. And so you don't want that. You don't want to be a footnote in Kevin Durant's legacy. Oh, Durant finally went somewhere and was the A1A star and won the title here. You don't want it. You don't want it.
That's the negative. Well, that's not even the worst case scenario, Durant. You kicked around the worst case scenario earlier. The worst case scenario standing pat would be getting pretty close next 2 years here and the thing just sort of fading away, the free agency in 2024 and Tatum after that. And if you go through those 3 years and you're really good, but you fall just short, maybe like a East Finals loss, two Finals losses, or a Finals loss and a couple Eastern Conference Finals where you fall short, you'd be going, oh, man,
some people
gotten Durant way back when.
Again, I'm talking a fan perspective. I don't understand people's freaking out. Look, if you want to sell out for that one title and you think you have it, great. I don't understand people being so geeked up about this. Like, I don't understand how you go from don't split up the Jays, I love this core, believe, love and trust, blah, 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 and then sell out for this guy. Like, it makes no sense.
This guy, but he's elite.
But so much of the Celtics fan base.
This isn't Kyrie.
That's not what I'm saying. So much of the Celtics fan base loves the Celtics for who they are. They love rooting for Brown and Tatum and Smart. They love these guys. They love the homegrown aspect of it. They want these guys to win. It's so strange that Kevin Durant bats his eyes at you and everyone's like, yup. You know,
let's go back to 2017, because it was the same situation with Isaiah, right? Maybe not as legitimate of a championship contender back then. Everyone, even Celtics fans, were probably looking at it and saying, could this team really win a title? But they went out and did the Irving thing. You know, there's an injury there, too, that you have to consider. But even if Isaiah was healthy, I think you go and do the Irving thing. And it didn't work. But even looking back still, I think everybody would look at that trade and say, you do it again. Because maybe Hayward doesn't break his leg and Irving doesn't hurt his knee that first year and history goes differently. You could do this Durant thing and it could go bad. And it could still potentially be the right move. It just didn't work. Again, like, you kind of have to describe an outcome. And I think the outcome would be multiple legit shots at a championship with Durant, at least two. And if you win one or you win two, it's a smashing success. If he gets hurt or declines a little bit, it's a massive failure. But it doesn't make it the wrong move. It's about the value here, right? So I'm looking at it and saying, what's good value for Durant? You know, I don't care about picks, so I'm putting the picks on the table. Smart, I think everybody's giving up Smart for Durant. And Brown's a tough pill to swallow, but that's what gives you the edge over everybody else. So it's Brown, Smart, picks, I'm doing it. If it's Brown, Smart, Rob, that's probably too much. I'm just looking at, like, hedging the value of what's going to significantly improve your championship chance here. Because, again, we kicked this around last week, John. I love the season they just had. It was one of the most exciting Celtics seasons ever, and I can always take value in that. But, man, the way the finals – I just watched the finals again the other day. That was tough. The way it ended, how falling short there, the uncertainty of whether or not you're going to get back. They had a really good chance there, and if you had Durant closing game four, you're probably hanging a banner this fall, you know?
Yeah, maybe. And again, it's hard to say exactly how that goes. I do question, again, from a style perspective, one, if whether it's something you want to watch, and two, whether it's something that's effective here. I think this is a team where you want to see more ball movement. I think you're less likely to get that with another ball dominant player like Kevin Durant. And so I think that affects you. And again, we have to be honest here. Malcolm Brogdon also likes to have the ball in his hands a lot. And I'm not saying he's going to be the impediment to a Kevin Durant trade, but he's a guy who dribbles a lot, takes it to the hole, creates his shots. So now you're going to start to get a lot of that. If you bring in a Durant, I don't love the fit with him and Tatum. It's two guys that do the same thing. You throw in Gallinari as well. You got three guys who are kind of stretch fours in today's NBA. Like, it starts to get goofy. So I don't love it. And I also just think it's hard to root for.
Well,
so,
I'm interested in, I don't think we'll do it here, but, you know, in the coming weeks, kicking around the team as it stands now, because I really, really like the team, but I still have a few questions too, in terms of the Smart Brogdon stuff and Brogdon's role as you kicked around there. Is he about to become a full-time off-ball player like we saw White effectively become here? What happens to White now? The Gallinari move I like but don't love. And then you still got the backup center questions here, too. So let's say this team's standing pat. Still a few questions we got to kick around over the coming weeks with that as well. And they're in a really good position right now. We were both waving the flag over the Brogdon move. Great trade. Gallinari, you'll take him if he wants to come. But the team's in a really good position right now. You could argue favorites to win a championship, but they're not a slam dunk. And we'll get into that over the coming weeks here as well. You know, I'm sure this Durant thing's just going to fade.
It's interesting. So really what it comes down to, there's two different things at play here. One, whether or not the Celtics are truly in on Kevin Durant, And naturally, any trade for Durant would have to involve Jaylen Brown, and that's that. And how much of that is based off of getting Durant, because that's who you want and that's your target, and you think, as you said, Bobby, that's going to make you much better. And, you know, he's a once in a lifetime sort of player, and you have to take a shot with someone like that. And if Brad sees it that way, and if he does, then the offer with that in White and a pick makes sense as a starting point, letting them know I'm not really going much past that, but we can talk if you want to, if that's going to be the framework of a deal, and then we'll kind of fill around the edges. I understand it. If that's what they really want. What I don't know is, are they deeply concerned that Jaylen Brown is a flight risk in 2 years and are thinking this is the best deal we're going to get? So we actually do have to see whether
you think that's the motivation.
I do not know. And I don't want to presume my, yeah.
I don't think they'll know.
On nothing other than me reading tea leaves, how Brown reacts to things, the feelings of disrespect, you know,
the photo.
Again, we're talking about stuff that is not journalism. This is just simply speculating. What do you think is going to happen? I am far from convinced, Jan, and the fact that he's never really said anything about it. Every single thing they say, and I know Celtics fans will friggin', you know,
who's the one guy we didn't talk to in Vegas?
Yeah, exactly. He's never part of it all. Jaylen, it's like, he just seems apart from it. And I know it, once a year, Brown and Tatum will sit together through gritted teeth and say something along the lines of like, we're cool. But like, it's so strained, it actually hurts the argument that they get along and that they play well together. It's fine. I don't believe
they had a good year together.
I don't think Brown hates Tatum or vice versa. I think if Brown left or this trade went through, Tatum's not going to be like, oh man, I lost my boy. I think he's fine. I think Jaylen very well could be looking for a place where he can be more of the guy and doesn't want to live under Tatum's shadow. I don't think they're a good basketball fit together. I don't think they play well together. None of it necessarily makes sense. I am not sold. If I had to make a call, I would say I would bet no on re-signing rather than yes. And the later you figure that out, the more problems you get to. So
well,
if you get a clean break with 2 years left on a deal, this is the height of his value right now, and this is the best deal you think is coming around. You might not be able to wait for a better one. So I get the basketball move. If you were worried, you can't really wait. And you might have to consider what's it going to take here to make this happen. Because I don't think Jaylen's returning.
That's why I'm surprised by your take on it. Because in the past, you've wanted to trade Brown for Desmond Bane and like a variety of
No, because that's the thing. I would have done the trade for people that everyone tried to do for Jaylen years back. A rising star like Jaylen was 3 years ago, and gambling that in a year or two they're going to be at the same level as Brown. So I would have done Murray last year, but also gotten picks and another player from them. And I think you'd be better for something like that. Like, potentially, if not right away, within a year or so. Like a Halliburton is another one I mentioned. If that other team's going to give you a bunch of – if the other team's going to give you four picks and pick swaps plus a rising star – that's affordable, that you don't have to max out, that you control for 5 more years or 4 more years instead of 2. And
but that's another, selling low on Brown.
And more players that will help you. Those are the types of trades I would have looked at for Brown, not the sell up for a superstar.
You want to trade up. You want to trade Brown and stuff into a guy like Durant who... Like, if you were just starting out Brown's career, and I know it's a different situation now because of the fact that Brown's progressed and has become this all-star, borderline all-NBA guy, you would have dreamt way back in the day when you drafted Brown of him being the centerpiece of a guy that could get you a guy like Durant. Again, we might be past the window of when that would have been preferable to do, but it's here now, so you have to make a decision on it. That's what you want to do, I think, rather than trading, because that would have been selling and that would have been kind of starting over on the fly, going with some other guys, whether it was Murray or Halliburton or whoever. And I do love Halliburton. I hold him in a different
regard. I'm not saying I do these trades. I'm saying those are the types of trades. If you were looking on it, you weren't sure whether Brown was going to stay, you wanted to try something else, you wanted to think about a different type of fit, that's the type of trade I would consider, instead of the trade him and everything else you can possibly throw into a pile for a slight upgrade. And I know Durant's a significant upgrade, but for like the Beal deal, it would be, when people are talking about what it would take for Beal, it was Brown and a bunch of stuff for Beal. And I was like, no.
I hated that. And that's what it effectively is for Durant right now.
I hated that trade. So it's not a matter of either how I feel about Brown or how I feel about Durant. It's just about, what does it do for you? You know, like, I think Durant,
well, that's where I draw a line. I have a very hard line on this.
I think Brown's game is too far along. He's too good now to be included in a package for players. You know, that's it. What are you getting if you trade Durant for KD for Jalen straight up plus salary matching? Fine, different story. Different story. Yeah, because that to me is more equal. It's
well, the picks are given today. You know, it stinks, but you kind of have to do it.
So again, it all comes down to if they're legitimately afraid Brown is leaving.
You would do White Brown
if you're legitimately afraid, concerned, not sure, whatever, then you have to consider it, because you 4 years versus 2 years is really what you're looking at. As you're no longer looking at 33 versus 25, you're looking at 4 versus 2. That's the number that matters more. And so there it makes sense if you're worried about it. You know, because your vibe is, I don't know if he loves it here with Tatum. I don't know if he wants to be the second guy. I get a feeling Boston's not the place for him. If you got that vibe and you're Brad or you're in the organization, yeah, you have to start to think about it from that perspective, because that's the only thing that matters anymore. It's 4 versus 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everything we've laid out is valid. Again, I do have a limit. I'm not giving up everything for Durant. I think that'd be ridiculous.
But then there's also a limit, even if you are worried. You're right. There's a point where if you start giving up, not just... That's the problem with the Celtics. They're so freaking top heavy. Like you're and a little less.
It's
so
gone after, better. Yeah.
A little less so after this offseason, but that's been their problem in trades, is when it's Brown and somebody else, it's literally like half your team, you know, so there's not much you can do there.
I'm really, man, I was thinking about Rob again, because you kick around this, what you could offer here and what Brooklyn would want. What Rob did last year and what he could potentially did, I know it means nothing, but I'm looking at the basketball reference page for Rob, and they're starting to put out like those projections for next year for all these guys. Yeah. And you look at Rob and it's like 14 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 4 assists per game, 3 blocks per game, 73% shooting. And you're like, man, what this guy could become in tandem with whether it's Brown or Tatum or Durant and Tatum. You got to hold on to Rob, especially the finals. Like, you look at what he did in the finals. I know we still haven't really, like,
still on one leg. Still with no offensive game. Still with no semblance of an offensive game.
Plus 30. They outscored the Warriors in a 4-2 loss by 30 with him on the floor. And the Warriors legitimately looked like they couldn't score when he was out there. Man, Rob is untouchable to me right now.
That's the whole thing, is like, you know, we anytime you have these like previews and, you know, you talk about, you know what's going to happen, you know, and you do an X factor segment, you should almost rule out X factors, because Rob Williams is always the X factor, because his play completely transcends what they're able to do on the court when he's playing well. And he hasn't even scratched the surface of what he could be. So again, Rob Williams might be, you know, forget health, because you have to figure it only, this only matters if you're talking about a healthy Rob. Maybe, you know, the second most important player on the team. And I know it's, oh, that's crazy. You hate Jalen for saying that. No, he's such a difference maker, and he's not even close to his max potential. So yeah, and at that deal, oh my God, you're just stealing money. I mean, it's an absolute, that chart, Bobby, about the decision-making, and I know part of that has to do with the fact that he doesn't ever look to shoot, so naturally when he gets the ball, he's trying to get rid of it. But in terms of, I mean, that's...
Can I do the Jimmy? Put it up there on my phone? That was a ridiculous chart.
That was stunning. It was a chart of the NBA's best decision-makers, and you see a little bar graph going up, and most of the people are clustered here who are at the top of their game, and Rob's up here. He's literally off the screen.
Yeah, it was like touch time versus, like how fast you get it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That was crazy. And, you know, on his deal, you're talking about his deal, according to Fisher, that's like now the minimum of what Grant's looking for. So you think Grant's about to maybe get that deal now, and you have Rob on that for the next 3-4 years? It's crazy what they accomplished with that extension.
It's, you know, again, I loved it then, you know, love it more now. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's interesting, you know, in summary, I do believe a lot of this stuff was bogus. There's not a lot of real, you know, whatever.
Again, I just look at it and say, if the Nets took something that wasn't real and blew it up like this,
it happens all the time.
Over for Brad, and then to this level,
yeah, it's over. It's not the first time.
We'll have to find another example because I can't remember one this big. Again, no one like Durant's been available for a trade at this level before, and that's another thing you have to consider here. You can get maybe the first or second best player in the league available for 4 years. Because let's say Durant was going to be a free agent next year. You're not even thinking about this, but 4 years of him is enticing.
Yeah, it definitely is. I want to let people know a couple of different things here. Programming notes, if I can find them. Discord. A lot of people are out there chatting. The Discord blew up today. It was like 80% Nick Gelso. But there was a lot of... No, just kidding. Nick was in there going back and forth with fans. The Durant
stuff. Should we do a little Discord thing later today with the guys?
It's once possible. Everyone's around? It's possible. We might, you know, or maybe we do spaces, but... Discord, you guys can go in there. You can open up your own chat rooms. You can talk with one another. A lot of you who are watching the show are already on it, but if you're not, join it. It's a great place for Celtics chat. It's really fun, good group of people in there. We're up over 1,000, around 1,100 people. Want to keep growing it. Like I said, it's a safe space. It's a place you can go chat, have fun. Everybody's polite, courteous of one another. And we ask that if you do join that, you be the same and be, you know, be courteous and respect everyone's opinion, but just go in there and, you know, voice your thoughts on what we're talking about here or anything you have to do with the Durant. A lot of people are doing both at the same time, watching this and on Discord, which is great. So definitely check that out. Do want to tell people once again, about our sponsor as well, Athletic Greens. And again, this is something Bobby's been on for 2 weeks and I just started and I'm really psyched about it. If you go to athleticgreens.com/garden, you get a 1-year supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Again, Athletic Greens, it is an all.
You like the taste too, right?
And what's funny is a lot of people were like, oh, I had it. No, that's wrong. Totally wrong. That was like a knock I'd read on it. That's not true at all. I was really pleasantly surprised. So that's not an issue. There's no reason not to do this if you are, in fact, concerned with your health, being more energized, gut health, optimized immune system. Again, the amount of things you're probably doing in drips and drabs throughout the day, trying to, you know, hammer this down. It's there, kind of one-stop shopping, 75 high quality vitamins, right there. It's diet friendly, whatever diet you're eating on. There's no sugar. There's really no drawback to it. It's an easy lifestyle thing too. It's one scoop in water, boom, and done, and on with your day. And you will notice the benefits almost immediately. I know Bobby can attest to that, and other people. There's a lot of testimonials here with people who use this religiously. So
yeah,
definitely.
The fact that you get the travel packs is helpful too for starting out, because you can bring it to work or whatever else you get to do.
Check that out. And as I said, free t-shirt. If you DM me, John_Zanis, with a receipt of a purchase here using this promo code, athleticgreens.com/garden, and all the things you get along with it here with a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and the 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So definitely go check that out, you know, as soon as you can. Bobby, any final thoughts here as we move on? I guess really it's... The number one thing is, how far down the road are they with Jalen? And are we, the first thing I tweeted when I saw this was this, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, you know, like if this is real and it's out there and your intentions are legit and you're trying to get Kevin Durant, and Jalen's been dangled and he knows it, that's not great. So that's the number one concern is, if they're not going to do it, can they repair this? And is Jalen going to store this one away, you know, when it comes to renegotiation and be like, yeah, I'm not going to sign here and have you I'm going to pick my own destination. I'm not going to sign here and be the subject of trade rumors for another 4 years because it's obvious you guys don't value and respect me.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to how much you have to give up here. Like, you can alleviate that concern by doing this deal, and it's the best.
But are you concerned with
Jalen's
mentality now that it's out there?
Yeah, I've been concerned. We kicked around a week ago all the noise and smoke and everything else around him, just sort of the discomfort, it seems like.
Well, someone asking his position here. DM me at Twitter here, John_Zanis. Send me a DM. Someone just asking who purchased Athletic Greens, and thank you very much. DM me a receipt, and I will send you a T-shirt. John_Zanis. Sorry, go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, I've been concerned about his standing here, even beyond all the signals and whatever else we're kicking around here and pulling from. It just seems natural that a guy as good as him, who in that Kanye statement, I think that's like the hardest evidence we have more than anything else, is that he looks at himself as underrated and Kanye looks at him as underrated. And this is sort of the camp that's guiding him into the future here now. So they're going to say if he's underrated or undervalued or whatever they look at it as. Are they going to say the best route for you is staying in Boston under Tatum's wing? Because certainly, like, we see how this plays out. It's Tatum's team, and it's Deuce running around, and it's his face plastered on the
posters. Let's not do that next year. On a side note, I'm not going to do a whole Deuce show, but, like, leave the kid at home. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
So, like, that's sort of what people talk about when it comes to the Celtics, and they'll say, yeah, Brown's great too, or it'll be Tatum and Brown. I actually like when I'm writing to write Brown and Tatum just because of the alphabetical, but everyone says Tatum and Brown. It's just the way it is, and that's how it goes in this league, and we've seen it a million times over when two stars are on the same team. It just sort of seems to drift apart over time. Does Brown sign one more contract? That'd be great, but then a couple of years after that, maybe he gets uncomfortable in that contract or whatever the position is. Again, I think it has less to do with how
the players have a leverage. There's no certainties. You're going year to year on keeping people happy, but you've got to, again, this one's, you got to sign that next deal and worry about that first, you know?
And that's tough too. Here, I was kicking around this morning. You can't extend them, which is really tough. I don't know why the CBA is like that.
It's so weird.
You can't give them a real offer. It's $123 million. Obviously, he'll be a guy when free agency comes who gets closer to $200 million, $200 plus.
Why can't you give him the deal you're going to give him in 2 years now?
Like, I don't know. Dallas just went through that with Brunson. I think the max they could have offered him was like 45, and then he ends up getting 100. So it's weird how that's set up in the CBA. That's probably something they'll have to look at among a million other things now that they're finally kicking that around. Because the goal is to keep guys with their teams, and that limits how well you're able to do that. Meanwhile, everyone's knocking Lillard and Beal now for staying with their team. That's what you want, right? Even though it doesn't look great for either of those guys now, like the CBA, the way it was designed for those guys worked.
To make it hard to leave.
In Portland and Washington.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, oh, they don't want to win. They would have got ripped if they went to a super team. I don't get why people are ripping
them. The point of this is the team that has you can offer you the most money. So you want to make it hard for players to just up and leave. You know, you might scoff at it because it's funny money to us. 240 versus 210, or 300 versus 245. You're leaving $45 and $50 million dollars on the
difference.
Table. It's a massive,
and that's what you're betting on with Brown, right?
You know,
he'd be foregoing a lot of money to leave Boston.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how you look at this if you're a fan and say, all right, most money at the end of the day. I know Brown just got a big extension on the first round.
Ton of money, winning situation.
Yeah. You look at it, if you're a fan right now, and I know I've been tough on the fans for not considering this enough. If you look at it and say Brown's in a good situation and your money's going to keep him here long term and you like this core as it stands, I can't knock you for that because this is a really good core. That's a really good duo to move forward into the future with. And your window at that point would be what, like 7 years, 6-7 years instead of 2 years as it stands now. So I can't knock people for not wanting to do this, but you got to consider it. You got to at least weigh it.
As currently constituted, if in fact, it was the Brown and White and you're concerned about Jalen, I get it. Beyond that, it's not really a deal I want to do. I know people will talk themselves into it. I'm kind of curious what the next shoe to drop here is, whether it's something coming from the Celtics or whatnot. But again, the conversation will remain the same. And we encourage you to, as we said, continue to have it. Join, you know, jump on Discord, chat with us on Twitter. I'm more than happy to banter back and forth with people. We've been doing it most of the day. So we're here if you guys want to continue the conversation. We're going to wrap up this show. There'll be much more on this and all sorts of off-season stuff. We're going to be doing a couple of shows this week. I'm glad that this happened because it gave us something obviously super interesting to talk about. But follow us on Twitter. Myself, my handle's up there. Bobby Manning's is up there as well. Go check it out. Oh, I should put the at there, shouldn't I? Just to let people know it's at John Zanis. You know Twitter, though. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Celtics CLNS on Twitter. You'll get notifications when we are going to go live, and then you'll know that. Also, subscribe. Smash that subscribe button on YouTube and hit the little bell. Turn on your notifications when we do go live. You'll get a little notification of that as well. It's the off season, so we don't really know when stuff's going to happen. If there's breaking news, we'll hop on as soon as we can. Otherwise, we'll probably jump on with some of the boys later this week and just kind of chat about all things that are happening in and around the Celtics and the NBA. And just
go from there.
BS it, you know, as it were.
Let's plug Sherrod's interview with Gallinari as well. That was really good. People should go check that out.
That's something that you definitely check that out. Bobby wrote about it, but you can watch the A-List podcast. Sherrod, Gary Washburn, and Kwani had Gallinari, Danilo Gallinari on their podcast. He was a really good sport. He hung out for a while. He answered all their questions. Really good stuff. Good interview. Bobby wrote about it as well at clnsmedia.com, so you can check that out.
And he'll be playing in the Euro basket too, I think he said in that interview. So you'll get an early look at him this fall. I think that starts in September. So the Celtics will have somebody in that tournament. I know Jokic is playing in it. Giannis is playing in it as well as Luka. So that'll be a fun little appetizer to the season.
Yep. So, fun stuff, interesting conversation, a lot of angles to it. My favorite thing to talk about, obviously, is stories like this where people feel passionately about both sides of it. It's a really interesting conversation and debate, and obviously value everybody's take and opinion on this because I do think they are all valid, and I see all sides of the arguments. When we talk about stuff, we talk about our personal opinions on the matters.
And you know what's fun, too, is this will probably become, obvious. Whether it happens or not, you'll probably be able to look back in 2 years and be like, thank God they didn't do that. Or, man, maybe they could have done that.
Yeah. Look, man, that's why these guys get paid the big bucks. These are the tough decisions.
This is a tough decision for Brad. It really is.
It is because, it's hard to say no to someone thing like Durant. It's
Lowe was kicking around last week on his podcast. The Nuggets, one of the teams that could maybe be interested in them. They're almost in an enviable position because you're obviously not going to trade Jokic for him. Porter's on that rookie scale thing, and Murray's hurt. So you almost can't do it. So you're just like, all right, we'll run it back. We like our team.
I mean,
but the Celtics can.
Yeah, they can. So we're going to wrap it again. Thanks for hanging out with us here on an early Garden Report. Once again, athleticgreens.com/garden, one year supply. Great vitamin supplement here to, for your overall health and well-being, gut health, mental health, stamina, all sorts of different things here. So check that out. athleticgreens.com/garden, 1 year supply, vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, which is actually awesome. Bobby and I are both totally on board with this. You should be too. Email, send me a receipt at John_Zanis. You get a free t-shirt with your first purchase as well. So we'll throw that in also. Thanks guys. We will see you next time. Take care.